Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The issue of transgender rights and whether or not a man should be able to use a woman's restroom or changing room and whether or not you can even change your gender is a big issue, a topic of debate all over the country. On today's edition of Faith and Freedom, we have Walt Heyer, a very special guest, who actually has gone through that kind of surgery and has been redeemed and transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about his story, and he's going to share that with us on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Walt, welcome to Faith and Freedom.
Yeah, thanks. It's great to be on today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for being a strong voice for such a time as this. For those who may not be familiar with your story, tell us about your journey, how you came to the place where you ultimately went through surgery, how you then regretted that, how you ultimately were transformed by Jesus Christ. Tell us about your story and take us back to the early days.
Sure. Yeah, well, my journey started actually in 1944 when my grandmother began cross-dressing me. I was just a young four-year-old child. And she seemed to really enjoy cross-dressing me, and I think, you know, that gave me encouragement to go along with it. And I was enjoying it, and there came a time when family members found out what my grandmother was doing, and my uncle, who was a teenager, thought that it was pretty peculiar and began to make fun of me and tease me and eventually sexually molested me. And so with a grandmother, and this was by the time he did that, I was about 7 years old, so all of a sudden we had the seed planted in me that there was something wrong with me as a boy, and that people were liking me better as a girl, but I was being teased and molested as a boy as well. So as this grew into a problem for me psychologically, I kept thinking I wanted to change genders all the way up into my teens, and then I was not homosexual, like many transgenders are not homosexual. Vast majority of them aren't. They're just gender confused. And I got married and had two children and still struggled with what had happened early in my life. I'd never really dealt with it properly. And so by the time I'd been married 17 years, I went to a specialist who was dealing with transgender people, and he said I had gender dysphoria and that the only way to cure it was to undergo surgery. And I waited the two-year period of time and went back to him, and he diagnosed me 2 years later with gender dysphoria, and I divorced my wife thinking this was the right thing to do, that I still had those feelings and had them for now 38 years and wanted them to go away, and surgery was the way to make it go away, I guess. So I underwent the surgery and changed my name to Laura Jensen, female, changed all my records, and lived 8 years as a female until I began to study psychology and realized that transgenderism is basically a childhood developmental disorder, and you're not born with it. It's something you develop as a result of circumstances in your life, and that's when I began to regret having gone to someone who was a specialist saying that, you know, this was the cure. He didn't bring any points to the table about this is a psychological issue. He just said surgery and hormones is going to fix you. Well, I turned away from the world's view of gender and went to the Lord's view of gender, and for a long time began to pray and work through that process until the Lord redeemed my life. And now for nearly 25 years, I've been redeemed and restored to my innate gender and sex that God designed me to be.
What do you think the root cause for those feelings were, Walt?
Well, I think anytime someone begins to cross-dress you, you begin to think, oh, there must be something wrong with me. It's just that simple. When you see someone, when you're young and impressionable, and some adult person is fawning over you and telling you how wonderful you look, but they're not doing the same kind of affirming behaviors toward you when you're the gender you were born, So all of a sudden you think something's wrong. So when we start cross-dressing kids and affirming them in that cross-gender thing, what we're doing, whether we realize it or not, is telling them there's something wrong with the way they were and that you should be this way, which is creating a psychological problem within the kid, and they're going to go to the person who's affirming them or the gender that they're being affirmed in, not the one that's not being affirmed.
Kind of that desire for love and affection, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I know you have maybe sisters, for example, that like to play with dolls, and they have a younger brother, and they want to cross-dress their younger brother. Some of that may be just, you know, a fleeting thing that they want to do. But in your particular case, it was your grandmother, an adult, who was giving you a lot of affirmation when she would cross-dress you, but not as much affirmation when you were the biological young boy that you were.
That's exactly right. And I think that's the problem we have today. We're affirming people so much so to the point that they want to change genders. Now it's become, I believe, almost a fad.
Yeah, sometimes within young people, for example, it becomes the in thing to do. It's the thing to get attention to do, especially
Absolutely.
Now in some cases. I mean, Western Virginia University just recently put out a policy that you have to use he, she, hier, H-I-R, or Z, Z-E, as a personal pronoun, depending upon how someone wants to be addressed. You know, and Z would be that you're neither male nor female. You're neither. In your case, though, it really, I think, raises a red flag whenever you're looking at putting these LGBT policies in the public school, K through 12, and you have kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, young boys and girls that are being told by the schools that they're neither male nor female, that their biology doesn't matter, that they can choose what expression they want to be, whether it's male, female, or some combination of both or neither. That is a very big red flag that your testimony, I think, raises or should raise for everybody who's listening.
You know, I think it's so unfortunate that we don't hear in the media those people who have struggled with homosexuality and transgender issues and now have come to Christ. Tell us about the freedom that you experienced once you encountered Jesus Christ.
Well, it's amazing how freedom, that's a perfect word for it, because once you finally come to the Lord, he actually came to me in prayer and reached his arms out to me. I could see him in the prayer. It's in my book, A Transgender's Faith. And reached out and held me in his arms and said, "You will be safe with me forever."
Mm. Wow.
That was the point of when I was redeemed and restored and didn't look back. So I think it's so important to understand that, you know, the LGBT should not be dictating policy of gender and sex in our schools. We're supposed to be teaching reading, writing, arithmetic.
I know. What happened to
social
that?
Studies and other things. Now it's a gender petri dish for experimenting with young kids.
Well, in fact, it's dangerous, obviously, because if someone is missing something, if they're seeking, or if it's just a fad that they're trying to be bold and brash and get attention, that has lifelong consequences. And now we're even seeing some parents wanting to administer hormone blocking medication so that the production of testosterone if you're male or estrogen if you're female are blocked so that you will delay the onset of puberty. You will delay the development of maleness or femaleness and then ultimately go through the surgery and hormone treatment that can have lifelong consequences.
Yeah, and I would suggest that doing this is why we see in the adult population, 25 and older, attempted suicide rates at over 40%. And in the 12 to 24 age group, we see attempted suicide rates at 50%. So what we have actually is we're actually driving the attempted suicide rates by indoctrinating kids with hormone blockers, suggesting they should change genders. We're causing them deep psychological pain to try to sort of fit into society today. And they have enough stressors going on in their life without worrying about who they are and what their gender is and what their sexuality preference is. This is really an abhorrent situation that we have in our school system.
Well, our very special guest on Faith and Freedom is Walt Heyer. He has two websites that I want to give to your attention, sexchangeregret.com, that's sexchangeregret.com. And then the other website is the same name as his book, atransgendersfaith.com, atransgendersfaith.com, and there's a book by the same name. I encourage you to visit his websites and read his book. Order the book, A Transgender's Faith. You can get that at thetransgendersfaith.com.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.